with some in-season makeup fertilizer if they need it. And I guess the analogy there would be like if you go out in your garden with a little bit of Miracle-Gro and a watering can later in the summer and give your tomatoes a little bit of extra boost, that's kind of what the farmers are trying to do too, is they're trying to get all that nutrient to go up into the plant and cover as many acres as you possibly can with the manure.
So do they have to follow those same regulations with commercial chemical fertilizers?
No, they don't. You know, and that's an interesting thing in that, you know, as a farmer, if you're using a commercial product, there isn't that reporting requirement. So you're still going to want to be economical about how you put your nutrients on. You're not going to want to over-apply, but you don't have to report that to anybody. So it is more strict to use manure than it is to use a commercial product.
So the questions that I hear from people are they're concerned about groundwater and they're concerned about odor. So can you address those two things as far as your experience with other facilities across the state?
Sure. You know, odor is probably the by far the number one factor, really. You know, and I understand why. I mean, you don't want to have your affected by a bad odor. But from what we've seen from, you know, hog barns, dairy farms, feedlots, you know, on a day-to-day basis, they just don't have odor. The hog barns, they're all enclosed. There's really no dust because there's not any place for dust to generate from because they're inside on concrete. So it's just a very really clean environment. You do get odor when you pump out the pit, and that manure typically is going to be knifed in. I'd say 95% of the time, the farmers are going to inject that into the soil, and really for two reasons. One, it holds the odor in, and two, the odor is actually typically the ammonia coming off, volatilizing off into the air, and that's your fertilizer. So if you're smelling it, you're losing fertility. So the farmers don't want to lose that. It's too valuable. And it gets in contact with the soil. The soil binds to manure, which is another interesting thing, and UNL does a lot of research on this sort of thing. But manure has a positive charge and soil has a negative charge, and I'm probably simplifying it a little bit, but the two actually are attracted to each other and bind together. Commercial products don't typically have a real strong charge, so you know there's going to be less of that binding, a little bit of it, but it's not as strong as manure.
Okay, so what about the water? Because I know there's monitor wells. Is that a pretty safeguard, I guess you would say?
Yeah, I would say so. And the places where the state requires groundwater monitoring wells is places where they deem it to be riskier than other places. There's a lot of places in the state that where you have livestock facilities with no groundwater monitoring just because the state looks at it and says more or less there's really no way for that manure to get to the groundwater. Either it's a heavy clay soil or a heavy clay layer or a heavy rock layer or something in the geology that would prevent manure from leaching down into the groundwater. So in some cases, if they do have groundwater monitoring, then yes, that's a pretty good safeguard. You're still dealing with something that's way underground and you don't necessarily know what that came from. I know there was a recent news article where they talked about some groundwater monitoring wells that had high nitrates that were near some hog barns. And the article even said that they couldn't determine where that manure came from or where those nutrients came from that caused the high nitrates, that it just wasn't something that they could blame on any one source. And so that part of it, you know, you definitely want to be aware of what's happening, but you can't always blame it on something either.
So here's where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, Steve, I guess. Knowing what you know from your field of work with the Alliance for Agriculture in Nebraska, you would feel comfortable having a facility in your home county.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I've got where I live, within 5 miles of me, there's a large dairy farm, there's a large feedlot, there's multiple deep pit hog barns. You know, they're just scattered all over Nebraska. Most of the time, people don't even know they're there, and they're just there and operating, and just never really have an impact. It's just one of those things that once they're up and built, I guess I would say the hog barns again, with doing some of these tours, we're standing downwind of those barns, and when you get to be about 100 yards away, you really don't smell anything.
Okay.
So I feel very comfortable with them, yes.
Okay.
And, you know, that's part of what we do is we support the growth in the livestock industry, but we also advocate that it's responsibly done. They follow the state and local regulations. And, you know, it doesn't really matter the size either. We have worked with really small producers and we've worked with really large producers. It's just a matter of, are they doing this in a way that they meet all the regulations and are doing all the things that they're being asked to do to comply, be environmentally sustainable and economically sustainable too.
Well, Steve, I know you've done a lot to educate me on this, and hopefully our listeners have learned a little bit something out of this as well. Any other final comments about these types of systems or anything you'd like to leave us with?
Well, I know that in some parts, you know, like up in Cherry County, they're relatively new, and so there's a fear factor, and I don't blame people for asking questions. But I think, you know, having that opportunity to go out and take a look at them, really helped. And I think, you know, a little bit of trust in the state and local regulators is always a good thing. And if people have questions, they can certainly call me. Easiest way is to go to our website. All my contact information is there, and that is just becomeafan.org.
Becomeafan.org, and then they'll find your contact information and could visit with you a little bit more.
Absolutely. Yeah, any questions, and, you know, we'd be glad to help out and answer any of those questions.
Well, Steve, I appreciate your time today. Hopefully we've shared some information that will benefit our listeners out there.
Well, I think so. I appreciate the time, Mike.
All right, and that's this portion of our comment program.